Let's talk cards. I'm Zach Blackerby. He's Jamie Crossan. I got my grail this past weekend. I got to talk about it. I will show that off, as well as Drake May pricing. Fascinating. Not as much of a plummet as I thought, but we'll see what's going on there. And then PSA absolutely going crazy again. Jamie, that's just what we needed, right? Another few weeks go by and PSA is like, you know what? I'm going to raise the prices just a little bit more. I think you're going to feel it more on the bulk than anything else. Went from $21.99 to $24.99. And yeah, that's for 95 business days, the turnaround. That's the big one. That's the big one. And then also for value, which is fewer than 20 cards submitted at once, going from $27.99 to $32.99. That's 75 business days, which is just wild. It's just wild to me. As someone who grades a ton, it's making me start to like question it a little bit, because the previous jump was like $1 or $2 a card. And now, like, you know, going, well, I guess it's like $3 now. It's like, I don't know. Now it's starting to be like, you really got to feel confident it's going to 10 or it's probably not worth it.
Oh, exactly, man. I mean, you as a bulk submitter, I mean, you're going to be feeling that. $3 doesn't sound like a lot until you multiply that by 100. Now you're looking at $300 extra for your value submission. I think it's clear that they seem to be, maybe it's not so clear, that the thing that comes to my mind when I see this price jump, Zach, is they're trying to eliminate the cheap option. It almost feels like they're kind of signaling, at least through the PSA lens, an end to what many have called the junk slab era, where people would just submit any and everything. I think this effectively brings an end to that, at least through the PSA lens. What are your thoughts?
Possibly. I think sports makes more sense for that claim than TCG, because I still think a multiplier for a 10 on like a $5 Pokemon card can be a lot higher than the multiplier on a $5 sports card. So I think for TCG, you'll still see this, but on sports, it's making less and less sense to send. One of the things, though, that surprises me the most is the regular, which is, you know, what we use to send big cards. It goes from $75 to $80, essentially, what, $74.99 to $79.99. And it's they upped it from 20 business days to 25. And like, are you getting, you're getting that much like regular, like higher cost of submitting where you have to delay that a full week? That surprised me the most, if I'm being 100% honest with you.
Well, yeah. I mean, what they're saying is pay us more and in return you wait longer. That's exactly what's happened. You pay us more money, we make you wait longer. How is that a sustainable theory in economics? I don't typically, when you're raising prices, be it in the real estate world, rents, I know in apartment industry, which is my day job, my career, when you get your rents raised, one of the primary questions is, well, what are we getting back from this? What are you adding a pool? Are you adding a playground? Is there a fire pit coming? There's a push for, okay, nothing about my apartment has changed. What's enhancing my lifestyle here to justify this extra $100 a month that I'll be paying per month? And it's a valid question. And I think it goes across the board. And PSA seems like they've answered that question with, well, in return for the extra money, you're going to be getting longer wait times. My hope would be is that it's perhaps a better quality of grade. Right. Like if you're taking a little longer, maybe I think one of the best things they could do, I wish they would do this, is to do what BGS does, what Beckett does, and just create subs. I mean, if you're taking extra time, why not be a little more transparent in the cards across the board? I think that alone would help, you know, as a consumer.
But I mean, obviously, like the time, it's not taking longer because they're taking more time grading a card. It's because they can't keep up with all the cards coming in. Sure. I mean, I can't imagine how long things would take if they were adding subs to it.
Sure. But I mean, well, obviously, I mean, not very long, because they take on average 10 to 15 seconds a card. So, I mean, if you're doing subs, then just at least it would be something. My point is, I mean, practically speaking, you're probably right. Like, that would slow the process.
Yeah, but I think there's a big assumption baked in there. There's a big assumption baked in there, in the sense that I've seen other people say this too. Like, the assumption is that they want transparency, and I don't think they want transparency, would be my guess.
Why would they at this point? Why would they?
No, clearly. They're invincible, and like, you have to use them, and like, I'll keep sending stuff. I'll keep sending value bulk for sure, for the stuff that passes all of our, you know, what we think will 10 and all that. So I was just curious, because we sent off two things a few weeks ago, I guess last week, that are the regular, the $75 order, and it arrived on February 10th, and the estimated completion date is the 11th, which I think would be March. So I think that would be 21 business days.
Wow.
Which is less than what they're saying. We also sent that in before they updated this, but I'm curious to see if they actually do that. You used to be able to send that and have it back, like, or you may not have the card back, but you would know the grade within 2 weeks. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, that's right.
Doubled.
Do you think this actually, do you think it will slow the junk slab production? Do you think that this will increase PSA slab value, or do you think that it won't move the needle either way?
When you say junk slab, what do you mean?
I mean, like your base level optics sort of cards, like your $10, $12, $15 and below cards.
But like, if the player hits, you still make money on it.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, you're investing 20, now you're investing $30. And are you really, by the time you, let's say you sink $10 into a card that's worth 15, now you've, I mean, really at that point, you're spending what, 20, what did we say it was, $25 in a value bulk.
But what is, if you can look this up, like, what is a base optic Drake May do post Super Bowl loss? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we're jumping ahead, but yeah.
I'm Drake just curious, May, or like,
optic rated rookie. Yeah, so just a raw is what you're asking?
PSA 10.
Okay. Yeah, so a Drake May optic rated rookie PSA 10. You just put base. I mean, it's so gotta
some of this, I think, 50. Depends on what you're grading, because like with everything, timing is super, super important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talked about this a few shows ago. I've got a lot of stuff from Bowman Chrome U that I'm going to get graded at PSA. I'm going to put in my PSA vault, and then 3 weeks before the draft, I'm going to list it. Yeah. And it'll move. It'll sell. A lot of first rounders, low numbered autos, solid cards for those players.
Right.
And they're going to sell, and it's going to be market. It's going to be an inflated market around the draft, whether you buy it before the draft goes and they hope to flip it quickly, or you know, whatever it might be, you want to get those cards in and then sell it before those cards have NFL jerseys, cards, or whatever. I guess would be before Topps starts printing them.
Right.
Like, that's fine. But in a year, those cards aren't going to be worth anything. But it's like that card would not be worth grading a year from now.
Oh, yeah.
But there are people who make money off of grading. So do you have it? What's the optic Drake May PSA 10?
Yeah. Do? Yeah. It has slipped a little bit. Before the Super Bowl, they were as high as 220, 225, 250.
Which is absurd.
Now they're
this is an extreme example. I understand that.
Yeah. But to your point, it's $130 sold yesterday. Both
a 10.
That's a fixed price, and yeah, it's a 10. Optic base.
Can you look up Caleb Williams? Same card, optic base, Caleb Williams and a PSA 10.
So Caleb Williams, optic base, PSA 10. Yeah, let's see. We're going to do
and there's going to be like, well, these are extreme examples because like people are holding, you know, there's going to be guys that have, you know, these same cards with a Michael Penix or a JJ McCarthy. Right. And it's like, yeah, that stinks. Like that stinks that you either sent those off to get graded or maybe they were a hotter player when you sent them in and that comes back. Right. Like that's part of it for sure. Like you have to, your bet has to hit 100%. But like, what if Penix would have been good? You know, when you sent these off in the middle of the season or whatever, and Drake London carried him and the coaching was better, whatever it may be, or you do it now, you know, you risk the whatever costs are plus the $25 to get it graded and you hope they come back and they have a better season. And then it's going to, what's Caleb? Looks like you've got it.
Yeah, no, Caleb, February 4th was the last PSA 10 sale and it sold for at a best offer $95. And the one before that, the auction was $84. But I'm interested, Zach. I want to know what the 9 goes for because gems are gems because they're rarer, right?
So I'm going to guess 9. I'm going to guess $22 for Caleb.
Okay, for a PSA Optic 9 base, same card.
PSA 9, I'm going to guess $22 to $28.
Okay. $22 to $28. You know your cards, buddy. Because, and I want to make sure my computer is stalling. Well,
a lot January of the cards like that is you can charge grading costs is essentially what people do on that. What's the number?
$27 on January the 12th. So you were right on, man. Let me see if there's any more research.
January 12th, that might be a high sale for him too, though.
Oh, listen, just ran all grades for PSA 9, all recorded sales of this card, $15, $14.75 on February 8th is a best offer, and an auction on February 7th, $20. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a high sale in mid-January, which is about when they were in their playoff thing, I would think. So,
yeah.
But so for people who are like, don't grade base cards. I'm like, don't grade base cards of like, I love Travion Henderson. I'm a Pats fan, but like, I don't need to send any Travion Henderson base. Unless it's for your PC. If it's for your PC, you can grade whatever you want. But yeah, a lot of this stuff, it's like, you probably shouldn't grade that.
I mean,
but to say you can't make money grading base card, like that is wrong. Like that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You got your bets have to hit as far as which players you're betting on for sure. But that's just part of the hobby in general with that.
Sure. Well, I think that obviously your margins are tighter there. Obviously, you know, if you hit a 10, you've made money. If you hit a 9, you've lost, you know, like in the Caleb Williams example. So to an earlier point, I think you said, you've really got to hone in on your prep and looking at making sure that you've got a really good shot at a 10. Because if you don't gem, then what have you done? I mean, I feel like you could take that money and you could devote it to a numbered card or an auto or something like that that holds more value. I mean, I think that's the point. So, I mean, if you're going to allocate your money wisely, are you going to dump it into the chance to make $40? Or are you going to add another 10 to it on the grading and find you a good auto or a numbered card that's a little more valuable? I mean, and I think that's the point. I think that's what people, after just a little bit of thought, unless they're really in love with the player, like you said, and they want to add to their PC, I think that's going to naturally push people toward, well, man, now that I'm paying almost $30 for a grade, I've got to make sure that if I 9 instead of 10, that the return is going to be better, because you've lost in the majority of the cases on your base level cards if they come back a 9.
Yeah. And in most situations, the 9, getting the 9 is not going to be worth it in most situations. Like the extra $30 over raw, it's just not going to happen. There'll be some exceptions to that. There might be some case hits, like Kabooms have a low gem rate. Like that might be fine. Like I know the Shador, we just got graded his Kaboom. There's only like 2 9s or whatever. And we had one of them and it's like, okay, it didn't 10, but there were no 10s at the time. There might be now. So it's like, okay, well, this is the highest graded version of the card. Like you could probably have an argument there. But yeah, in most situations, the raw is not going to be $30 less than a nine in a lot of instances. So yeah, you got a gem. You got a gem.
Yeah. And that's the push. And then you hedge your bets like we're talking about, because you only have so much money. It doesn't grow on trees. My father taught me that. And so how am I wisely spending my money? Is it worth it? Is the chance, is the gamble? You're trying to mitigate risk. And so let me mitigate risk with higher quality cards. And I think that's just the natural evolution of where we are. Whereas it sounds obscene to think that $3 is going to make that much of a difference. But if you're grading multiple cards like you guys are, I mean,
well, and that's for the value bulk. Like, you have to submit at least 20 for that. So lowest case is at $60 difference. So,
yeah, I think, and it's what we're talking about. If PSA keeps raising prices, are you grading less or are you just being more selective? And I think both. You
know, we've slowed down, but a lot of that has had to do with shows and just not having stuff to send. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see as far as moving forward.
Yeah.
If we felt good about a submission, I would still send it in.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's getting to the point where, like, there's a few. I actually have a stack here of some stuff, and some of this has to do with Super Bowl performance that I had ready to send, and I'm like, I'm not going to send it anymore. But
yeah,
I think that has a lot of it's like, you know, different parallels and stuff of like Patriot rookies out of Prism, and a lot of that has to do with like a lot of like Will Campbell and like Travion Henderson stuff, and I'm like,
Will Campbell's got to be a little bit
different. No, Will Campbell right now. Sadly.
Man, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this, Zach. I think like I was reflecting on, because as I don't grade very much unless it's PC driven. I like to turn volume more, and I struggle with the process of and the wait times and the whole thing is just turn off.
There's a lot of reasons to not do it for sure.
Yeah. But I think that PSA, if I could say it this way, PSA is like the crappy boss at the job you love. You know, it's like you love the benefits. I like the paycheck. It's a great environment. But man, I hate my boss.
Yeah,
I'm sticking around not because of my boss. I'm sticking around because I really love the benefits and I like the
paycheck. Right. Because, I mean, even for you as somebody who doesn't grade, but you flip a lot, would you rather have a like whatever card in a PSA slab or a BGS slab or a PSA slab or an SGC slab? Like, it's not close. It's not close. So we're all in the same boat here. We all hate it. It's just kind of like, like what's the impact of this?
Yeah.
So Drake May, I mean, speaking of losing the Super Bowl and Will Campbell.
Oh,
Drake May's plummet, his hobby plummet, it's not as dramatic as I thought it would be. I thought there'd be like nobody who wants to touch his cards, and it's less for sure. But I thought it would be like a catastrophic dump, and it really hasn't been. Is that because, well, I think you've got a few numbers, and then I'll ask kind of a bigger picture question after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we kind of got on, I was looking up Drake May, because he's just such a hot topic. I think his cards were just at such a peak level. And we all, you and I had wondered, especially as we talked offline and online, is the value baked in pre the Super Bowl? And I think something else, Zach, like just from a real life standpoint here, I think that people do. Look, there are some people that will look for any reason in the world to devalue a card as they're buying it. Like, I mean, there's a wide array of people. I was negotiating with someone the other day, and they were like, well, yes, this was the last auction, but that's a Probstein auction. I said, it's still sold. You know, it's still transacted, you know. Yeah. And there's just a million reasons, but and you're going to find folks like that for sure. And I think it's fair to say there are times I'm like that too. You want to leverage the best deal possible. But I think when it comes to Drake May, there's a lot of news coming out right now about his shoulder being injured. Like, there's some speculation that he was banged up for weeks. Like, he was on the injury report, and then he was just taken off the injury report. And then after the Super Bowl, I mean, he went from the most, like, historical great passer during the regular season, 70-plus percent. Like, he was historically great, Zach. And then he went to the playoffs, and he couldn't hit the bright side of a barn, it felt like, and, you know, with the exception of a few quarters. And so I think that there's some logic that plays into this that says Drake probably wasn't right. He probably wasn't right for a few weeks at least. And that we can't penalize him for a poor Super Bowl showing against an elite Seattle Seahawks defense that was just full of studs. We haven't seen anything like it since Legion of Boom. I mean, it was just arguably, incredible.
Sure. Yep.
And so I think that some of that is baked in. What are your thoughts?
I think some of it is you had all these folks buy Drake May pretty high. And I don't think there's like going to be a massive ramble to dump it and just lose, you know, 30 or 40%. I think we've kind of seen that with Herbert to some extent. Like, I think Herbert's stuff is probably higher than it should be compared to other quarterbacks, because a few years ago, I mean, he was one of the COVID quarterbacks that people just couldn't get enough of. Like, I think there's a lot of people that are just have some of their money tied into Herbert, because, and so whenever he had a chance to be good, like, people were ready to, it would, I think we're gonna see the same thing with Wemby. Whenever Wemby is kind of gets hot again with the NBA, it's like, cool. All right. Like, here we go. Like, here are all these cards
that
we've been holding. I think Drake's going to be the same way. And also, like, the Patriots are set up to win again quickly. They've got a massive core coming back. They've got the fewest amount of restricted free agents in the NFL. They've got, like, $60 million in cap room. They're going to have to re-sign Gonzo. But after that, they're going to have plenty of cap room. And they're in a situation.
Oh, what a Super Bowl he had.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
He's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Yep. I bought his Optic gold rookie to 10 for like $40 in my first ever card show that I went to.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
So it was that's DC right there. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Got a 10 at PSA. It's probably a pretty big card now. Oh. I haven't comped it in a while, but yeah. Yeah. So that's my best Gonzo card that I got, but big fan of him. I know, for sure.
You're a DB guy for sure. Like, you love defensive backs. And I mean, I've got to say, Zach, as someone who doesn't follow the Patriots, who was locked into that game, I was so impressed with Gonzo. This guy was a difference maker. I mean, yeah, the way that he blanketed, I mean, I couldn't believe, like, it's some of the best cornerback play I've seen maybe ever. I mean, it reminded me of McCrary against Alabama a few years ago. Do you remember that when he was blanketing? I can't remember who the receiver was. They had a couple of like first round receivers, and he was just blanketing them, man. He was doing so awesome. And I that was the last time I remember watching a game thinking, man, what a difference. What a game-changing difference Roger McCrary is making. And I felt the same way. I mean, I felt like if Gonzo is not on that field, that's a blowout by the second quarter, it felt like to me.
For sure.
There were so many plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because it felt like it was like 9-0 for forever. He was a big reason for that. But yeah. So I think a lot of it has to do with just them being set up to win again, like, pretty quickly. I mean, who do you think is more likely to do that again of those rookie or with the 2024 quarterbacks? You think it's more likely to be Drake May, Caleb, Bo, Jaden, or JJ?
I mean, I don't trust JD5's health. I mean, he's skinnier than I am. I mean, he's I just don't trust him to stay healthy. I think he's dynamic. I don't think his body can hold up unless he adds a lot of muscle. Caleb feels up and down to me a lot, even though I feel like he's a good quarterback. I think that he's less consistent.
Caleb is second in that QB class to Drake.
Yeah. Well, Bo, I like Bo. Maybe it's my Auburn blinders. Maybe it's that loyalty aspect to Bo. I believe in Bo.
Here's my fear with Bo in the hobby is I started hearing this chatter a little bit towards the end of last year. And then Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he really got to benefit in the hobby for that win because he got hurt. All the attention then moved to the Stidham. But the Broncos almost won in spite of him a lot. And that was a lot of the chatter. Yeah. I fear for Bo Nix that the hobby's going to view him like Jalen Hurts. Mm. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair for Jalen either. I think Jalen's a good quarterback. But
yeah, me too.
It's not what we think. It's what the hobby thinks. And so that's my fear for like stocking up on Bo Nix right now.
Yeah. No, it's the injury concern is also,
nobody wants to touch his cards. Right.
Right. So yeah, I would probably put 2A, 2B. I don't know, man. Just because of the uncertainty around his bounce back from the injury, we don't know how severe that is. I know that he'll be back, but I put him 2B below, or maybe even 3 below Caleb. But to your point, yeah, man, I think Drake is the soundest, most solid investment choice, both from a football perspective and a hobby perspective. Getting to prices, I thought this was interesting. I sent this to you earlier. I always try to look at the downtowns. And so before the Super Bowl, the last recorded as of this morning, the last recorded Optic PSA 10 downtown of Drake May did an astounding $4,400. We talked, I think, the last episode we were on about how crazy some of those prices. $4,400.
Wow. Okay.
There's been no sale since February 5th. There was a PSA 9 that sold the day of the Super Bowl. There was two. One was a best offer for $2,000, $1,999. Good year. And the other was for $1,225 at auction. But those same cards, you know, were much bigger. Right now, though, there are two PSA 9s at sale at eBay. One of them is 962, the other is 1,075 with 2 days left. So I think that will tell us a lot about just from the downtown arena. We're starting to see he still holds value, but I think that what has happened is that crazy level value that he had prior to the Super Bowl. I even think despite poor performances or subpar performances for Drake leading up to the game.
Sure.
He was still maintaining his momentum. He was still maintaining his elite status of cards, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I think the Super Bowl loss did drop him. But I think loyalty is a real thing, man. I think that every time I run a Wimby card, it will sell. And I think that same with, to a degree, CJ Stroud. Like I can put a Stroud or a Wimby and run it, and I have no doubts that it's going to sell. And sure. I think what happens is in this hobby, we build, it's almost like a nostalgic feeling, man. It's like, I see Wimby, and it reminds us.
It's a agreed upon thing of like, this player's cards are good.
Right. Right. But I think also with that, I think that there's that loyalty aspect of, man, Wimby for me was the reason I got into the hobby. So okay. I'm always going to have an affinity toward Wimby. I remember, yes. I don't even consciously think about it. When I see a Wimby, something happens inside of me where I'm like, oh, Wimby, you know, because that was so much of my rhythm in the hobby.
Yeah. That iconic card of him with the black curtain behind him. Yep. On the prism. Yeah.
For sure.
I got to go. But so went to Collecticon last week. Incredible. Yeah. First time going to Collecticon. Well, the last table I went to, had the card I've been looking for 2 years, Skyridge Celebi, PSA 10. Ideally, I didn't want it in a 10. Couldn't find it anywhere else. Found two other Japanese ones, but finally found one. I've been looking for that for like 2 years. So, Grail.
Zach, how long?
Acquired.
So, that you were at chasing that card for 2 years.
Yep.
How surprised were you when you saw it?
I was pretty surprised. I was actually selling some cards to Flipping Cardboard, who has, he's a fairly big YouTuber in the hobby. And I watch his videos all the time, and he pays pretty strong. So when I saw him there, I'm like, cool, I'll sell you some of the stuff that I wanted to move. And he paid pretty strong on it. And I jokingly asked him, like, you don't happen to have any Sky Ridge Celebes, do you? And he's like, well, I sold one to him not too long ago. And it was his like buddy that was behind him. And so he had it at his table. And my heart dropped when it was a 10 because I'm like, I don't know if I can afford, I don't know if it makes sense to buy a 10. I really wanted one in a 9, which those are like 4-ish, I think.
Which you never hear, by the way. You never hear someone preferring a 9, which that's unique.
Well, the price, the price of that card is absurd, but.
Right.
We did it. Got it done.
You did it.
Most money I've ever spent on a card. So
Zach, what's the chase now? And now that you've had a few weeks to think about it.
I don't know if I have one. For a long time, it was the Burning Shadows Charizard. I have that one up there. Mm-hmm. And then it was this. I don't know if I have. I don't know yet. I'm not sure.
That's awesome, man. Well, congratulations on that card, man. That's exciting. We talked about that. That was really fun conversation. And so happy for you, man. It's a big deal when you lock down the card you've been chasing for a long time.
Do you have one where you're like, okay, this is going to hurt, but I'm not leaving without this card? Do you have one in your brain of like what that would be?
Yes.
What
yes,
is it?
I do. It is a Rock Dwayne Johnson WWE auto on card, preferably numbered. I was this close. I found a card of him in his heyday when he's like ripping off his elbow pad to give the people's elbow. Sorry for nerding out, guys. This is I'm a WWE fan. Love The Rock. He's the great one. And so he's pulling off, and it was out of 5. It was a graded 9, and I still regret not buying it. It just got too expensive, and I think it went for upwards to almost $4,000, and I regret it. But I'm looking for something similar, if I can find The Rock. To a lesser degree, the Legion of Doom, Hawk and Animal, those guys, they're passed away. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But it's very rare that you will find any card with both of those guys. I don't even know if they exist, but I would love to have a Road Warriors autograph. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Jamie, I'm Zach. This has been Let's Talk Cards.